Hello, this is Mary. I'll be reading selections from the Pantograph from Monday, November 10th, 2025. From the front page of the paper, Education, Olympia 4-H Club, Fighting Hunger, by D. Jack Alkery. Stanford. One Saturday each month, 18-year-old Anna Dawson and her fellow Olympia School District 4-Hers take their stations inside the Helping Hands Community Center, food pantry, and clothing exchange in Stanford. We have lots of different pastas. We have macaroni and cheese. We have linguine. We have, I think, rice-a-roni. We've got a bunch of coffee stuff, she said, listing off different items stacked around her as she wedged herself between two shelves. Right now, because it's November, we have ham. I think we have one turkey, and then a bunch of mashed potatoes and stuffing, Dawson said. The food pantry occupies the former rectory of the Stanford Church of God at 105 West Boundary Street. It is maintained by the church, but students also perform repairs and upgrades. From 10 a.m. to noon once a month, customers come in and fill out a checklist of items they'd like, everything from refrigerated and frozen goods to non-perishable and even cleaning and baby products. The students pack custom boxes from items from every conceivable nook and cranny in the back rooms of the house, besides the bathrooms. Even the tiny walkways between rooms have at least one shelf or stack of goods. Each of us has our own spot, said Aubrey Green, 14. Like, once you're in that spot for a while, you get to know where everything is. So it goes a lot quicker once you know. But at the beginning, you're trying to find where your stuff is. So it's a little more difficult at the start. The front rooms are reserved for the clothing exchange and customer service, as well as, if you're lucky, samples. As uncertainty swirls around the current and future status of the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP, the community has rallied to support Helping Hands, said Kathy Weinzerl, club leader. Especially right now, people have been reaching out, she said. This week I've been getting a lot of calls about how can we help? So people have been giving us donations of money and have been bringing us food. The students in the 4-H Pace Setters Club share that sentiment. We're motivated because we know that people don't have that much food sometimes, said 12-year-old Thomas Brinkmeyer, and we just want to help the people that don't have as much food and help them get food. The food pantry is staffed almost exclusively by students in Olympia schools who are part of their 4-H program and some alumni, Weinzerl said. I like seeing the kids doing this, she said Saturday morning, as students packed her truck for deliveries. It's me helping them get active in the community, being servant leaders. It started 18 years ago when the club noticed that their neighbors in the rural school district could use a little help, she said. They receive food from Midwest Food Bank and regular donations from the community, Weinzerl said, but they also grow fresh produce. We started a garden this year after we started the food pantry, she said, something that 10-year-olds Charlotte Allen and Hannah Dieterding really love. We could just bring it here, and then people can just come up and grab it. And I like it because it's fun, Dieterding said. I like watching the plants grow and then being able to pick them, and you can make stuff for people and share it, Allen said. Besides the garden and food pantry, the Pace Setters maintain a number of emergency mini food pantries in every town within the Olympia School District, said 16-year-old Evie Jenkins, the club's current president. They have a lot of meals we've made and packaged together, and then they also have snacks from Olympia Elementary and Middle Schools that would have been thrown away otherwise, Jenkins said. The mini pantries were funded through a $25,000 grant from State Farm, Weiserl said. The snacks filling them are part of a Waste Not, Feed a Lot program. That involves 4-H students taking items from Olympia classrooms that have not been opened, still in good packaging, and distributing them to the sites. The district sprawls over 377 square miles in parts of DeWitt, Logan, McLean, Tazewell, and Woodford counties. The 4-H'ers that stay after school go to all the classrooms and collect the food from the classrooms, from our buckets, because some kids don't eat all their food, and we have a bucket in each classroom, Allen said. Some kids waste their food, she said, and some people could be eating it when we, instead of us wasting it. From page 3, Bloomington. East Side Eatery gets rebrand. Crafted Partners pass the torch to Westside Blono owners. By Olivia Jacobs, Bloomington. Trivia nights, volleyball leagues, and live music will stay on the calendar at the East Bloomington venue, once known as Crafted Commons, but regulars will notice some changes along with the new names. The facility is now operating as the Eastside Blono under local restaurateurs Rob McDermott and Brett Matthews, owners of Empire Coffee and the Westside Blono, formerly Blono Pizza. The pair recently finalized their purchase of the business and are working to update the space and menu. Within the larger Eastside facility, the restaurant and bar will continue as Crafted Coffee and Wine, maintaining its coffee and wine focus while becoming part of the broader Eastside brand. McDermott said he and Matthews have been eyeing the East Bloomington complex for a while and seized on the opportunity to buy it when it became available earlier this year. Since taking over, the pair have worked to refresh the space, upgrading furniture, introducing new coffee from Intuition Coffee of Peoria, and developing a full wine program that will complement the coffee house vibe. This is an incredible facility. They did a great job building it. It looks great, McDermott said. We've upgraded the furniture, giving it a new vibe, upgraded the coffee product, and we're transitioning the bar program to a wine bar. It's going to be a very cool coffee shop and wine program. A new breakfast menu featuring items such as avocado and hummus toast is already underway, with plans for lunch offerings that include house-made soups, salads, and sandwiches. McDermott said dinner service is still in development, with plans for small plates such as charcuterie and hummus boards, designed to complement the wine and cocktail program. Popular events such as Tuesday trivia, Thursday music bingo, and seasonal live music will continue at Eastside, along with volleyball leagues in the warmer months. The team is also exploring adding indoor live entertainment, such as solo musicians or two-person acts. Matthews, a Bloomington Normal native, and McDermott, a longtime hospitality operator who relocated from Las Vegas, have partnered on several local ventures over the past few years. McDermott said he and Matthews originally decided to rebrand Blono Pizza, which they opened in November 2019 after taking over Swingers as their West Bloomington business expanded. The Westside property has grown to include Westside Smoke, a barbecue restaurant, Whiskey Empire, a cocktail program, and the Basement Bar, a hangout space. They also upgraded the golf simulators from Top Tracer to TrackMan and added about 10 lanes of duckpin bowling and other games. He said they plan to bring some of these concepts to the Eastside location. Former Crafted Commons co-owner Jason Dunn said he and his partners were proud of what they had built, but decided to sell after the group's focus changed. We strive to have something for everyone, and we think we delivered with that, he said. With there being 5 owners who have entered different places in life, priorities have changed, and we felt it was time to pass the torch. McDermott said they will continue expanding offerings at Eastside, including a wine wall with 16 wines on tap and additional bottles available for purchase. At Westside, the team has built a collection of more than 900 whiskeys and 100 agave spirits, along with house-made syrups and recipes. He said, Eastside will reflect the same passion for quality, just on a smaller scale. Westside also purchased Kraft's trolley earlier this year and has been using it as a food truck for Westside Smoke. The team plans to bring it to Eastside events as well. "We're very family-oriented," McDermott said. "It's a very local family business, and we're just excited for Bloomington Normal and love to have an amenity and hospitality element for those who live in this community." The new owners expect Eastside to have its liquor license approved next week and be fully operational by November 17th. Hours are being extended. Coffee service will run daily from 6 a.m. to 8 p.m., with the bar open 7 days a week from 4 to 10 p.m., Sunday through Thursday, and 4 to 11 p.m., Friday and Saturday. Dunn said the business is in great hands with the owners of Westside Blono. "We are certain that they will continue improving the foundation that we established," he said. "We would like to thank our wonderful community for the outpouring of support since we opened our doors 4 years ago. None of what we established would have been possible without them, and we are forever grateful." Also from the front page of Monday, November 10th edition of the Pantograph, "Farmers endure new uncertainty. Congressional impasse delays reports, stalls policy talks," by Benjamin Harold, Illinois Farmer Today. As farmers have worked through the harvest, it's been a busy fall for farm-related policy. The U.S. Department of Agriculture sent out a second round of emergency commodity assistance program payments, and some government officials discussed additional aid for farmers, although the government shutdown beginning October 1st halted progress. In addition, after legislation this summer extended the core farm programs, the agricultural industry continues to watch for a skinny farm bill to address programs that were not included in the One Big Beautiful Bill Act, including the Conservation Reserve Program. The USDA paid out the rest of the ECAP money at the end of September. In September, in Kansas City, Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins said the second round of payments would provide assistance to farmers facing a challenging economic picture. "Relief is already reaching farms and ranches, but more help is still needed," she said. ECAP payments, combined with our international food assistance purchases, help producers navigate market volatility, pay down debt, and move American commodities to people in need around the countries around the world. Speaking during a University of Illinois Farm Doc webinar on the topic, University of Illinois Ag economist Gary Schnittke said additional farm assistance, whether by funding more ECAP payments or through a new program, is a key issue for agriculture now. "The shutdown has added uncertainty and difficulty to the process. The next ECAP, who knows if we'll have that or what they'll even call it," Schnittke said. From page 2, today's Flick Fact. Question. They've torn down the century-old Front North Center building in downtown Bloomington, vacant for 17 years, that long-timers remember as a very popular department and mail-order store. Do you know what it was? Answer. For more than 4 decades, it was the Montgomery Ward Building, often referred to as Ward's, that left downtown since opening there in 1937 and moved it to College Hills Mall in 1980. It ultimately closed in 1997 to become a Hobby Lobby. Today, all Montgomery Wards across America are closed, although it maintains an internet presence. How time flies. 75 years ago, November 10th, 1950, Bloomington citizens will be served civic beans instead of administration pork chops in coming months, Mayor Cecil Cohn predicted. He was referring to the economic cuts the administration must make. 50 years ago, November 10th, 1975, 6 young people interested in police work will be trying their hand at various aspects of it through the McLean County Sheriff's Department Cadet Program, Sheriff John W. King said the program will allow six, including one woman and one Vietnamese refugee, to spend half of their working day at the county jail and half in classes at Illinois Central College in East Peoria. They will each receive $700 a month during the 9 months of the project. 25 years ago, November 10, 2000, a day after American Eagle surprised Central Illinois Regional Airport officials by saying it would end the service between Bloomington Normal and Chicago on July 3rd, Airport Executive Director Mike Lapierre was discussing his facility's future with other airlines. Lapierre said Frontier Airline, AirTran Airways, United Express, Northwest Airlink, and Transworld Express. Lapierre said all express continuing commitment to the market, and there could even be possibilities for expanded services. From page 3, Tim Hornseth, does salt of the earth insult? I recently heard someone say the well-known phrase, those people are just the salt of the earth, and it got me thinking, which can be quite the rabbit hole I can go down at times. When it is said that someone or some people are the salt of the earth, I believe it is generally implying some sort of compliment of them. I don't have an issue with the notion of a compliment. It's just that I find the phrase kind of weird. I've wondered if this usage of words originally started in another language that ended up being translated into English. Salt, as I know and use it, I consider being a rather bitter substance by itself. I use it on many things, and therefore it's useful when combined with other products, as it isn't as repellent. I also know that salt, at times when overused, can become crusty. So in my mind, saying people are salt of the earth is just another way of saying they are bitter people who can be crusty and curmudgeonly, which was not quite the compliment that was intended. Of course, the whole phrase has to be considered. This is where it gets even trickier. You see, up here in Minnesota, we get a lot of winter and our fair share of snow and ice. There are strategies to deal with snow and ice, and one common method is to use salt to accelerate the melting process, even in cold, freezing temperatures. One byproduct of this is that between the runoff and the plowing, we get a significant amount of salt in the grass along the curbs and driveways by the end of the season. All this salt buildup in the grass eventually kills the grass, or at minimum, severely depresses the grass's ability to regenerate into a nice lush green strip of lawn come springtime. So, salt is harmful to the earth, at least in my little section of it. Does this mean the phrase is implying that people are harmful to the earth, especially the bitter and crusty kind of people? That's my take on it. In the end, it sounds like a backhanded insult to me. Now, about that rabbit hole. Tim Hornseth spent his formative years here in Normal, attending elementary through high school in Unit 5 schools. His wife is a native of Normal and an ISU graduate. They reside in the third largest city in Minnesota, coincidentally living less than a mile away from a fellow Normal Community High School graduate from the same year. Want more, Tim? Go to conversationswithtimothy.wordpress to see the last columns and see what he thinks about the world. From Section B, the sports pages. High school football's second round. Tri-Valley upset highlights, round two. By Randy Reinhardt. The Tri-Valley and El Paso Gridley football teams advanced to the Class 2A playoff quarterfinals with second-round victories on Saturday. In 1A, Dwight also advanced to the quarterfinals by winning. Here's a look at how the Pantograph area fared in the second round. Class 2A, Tri-Valley beats number 1. A 79-yard touchdown pass from Ethan Moore to Owen McLean lifted Tri-Valley to a 24-17 victory over number 1-ranked Taylor Ridge Rockridge at Downs. Tri-Valley 9-2 will play at number 2 Wilmington in the quarterfinals. Rockridge finished at 10-1. El Paso Gridley defense shines. The third-ranked Titans blanked number 8 Sterling Newman 31-0 in a steady rain at El Paso. EPG is at home again next Saturday in the quarterfinals to meet number 4 Farmington at 5 p.m. Class 1A, Dwight advances. Dwight earned its second straight quarterfinal berth with a 43-14 verdict over number 6 Clifton Central at Dwight. The unranked Trojans, 8-3, will play at Stockton next week. Clifton Central bowed out at 9-2. Stockton clipped Hayworth. Number 1 ranked Stockton toppled Hayworth 26-3 at Hayworth. DMAC bows out. Number 5 Anawan Weathersfield outlasted Deer Creek Mackinac 33-26 at Mackinac. The Chiefs finished at 7-4. Anawan Weathersfield is 11-0. Lena defeats Gibson City Melvin Sibley. Third-ranked Lena Winslow overcame number 9, GCMS, 43-14 at Lena. Lena Winslow will travel to Kewaunee to meet Anawan Weathersfield in a quarterfinal matchup. Class 3A, Central Catholic falls. A number 2-ranked Central Catholic dropped a 29-28 heartbreaker to Monmouth Roseville at Bill Hunman Memorial Field in Bloomington. The Saints lost for the first time in 11 games. Monmouth Roseville advances at 10-1. Class 5A, Oak Forest trips Bloomington. Oak Forest built a 27-0 halftime lead and completed a 34-14 win over Bloomington at Oak Forest. Class 6A, Simeon Downs West. Number 10-ranked Normal West was defeated 36-21 by Chicago Simeon in Chicago. High school cross country state, Eureka Boys win state title by Randy Reinhardt. Peoria, Eureka High School boys cross country team won its 7th state cross country meet championship and first since 2003 on Saturday at Detweiler Park. The Hornets claimed the Class 1A crown with 151 points. Elmwood was second at 163. El Paso Gridley was fourth at 195, and Clinton eighth at 275. In the 1A girls race, EPG took third place at 211 points. Eureka was seventh at 295. The team champion was Winnebago at 150. Class 2A, Normal West finished 13th in the team standings with 367 points, led by 16th place finisher Renee Warren in 17 minutes, 32 seconds. Chatham Glenwood was the team champion at 81 points. Bloomington was 15th at 374, and University High 18th at 416. Lorelei Hulsing was the top BHS finisher in 55th place. In 2A boys, U-High was 18th at 400 points. Class 3A, Normal Communities A.J. Intz was 60th in the boys race. Barrington took top team honors. College football, Illinois State. Redbirds manhandle Sycamores by Randy Reinhardt. Terre Haute, Indiana. A post-game examination revealed no charring on the fingertip of Tommy Rittenhouse's right hand. Despite that discovery, the Illinois State quarterback wielded a hot hand all afternoon Saturday at Memorial Stadium. Rittenhouse riddled Indiana State for 29 completions and 34 passes, 314 yards, and 4 touchdowns, as the number 16-ranked Redbirds shellacked the Sycamores, 52-20. Rittenhouse's completion percentage of 85.3 was the second best in program history, as ISU improved to 7-3 overall and 4-2 in the Missouri Valley Football Conference. "He was really good," said ISU coach Brock Spack. "Tommy's done a really good job of putting himself in position to be a big-time player in Division I football. I'm very proud of him." The Redbirds' 52-point outburst was the most scored since hanging 67 on Morgan State in 2015, and the most in a conference game since totaling 55 against Indiana State in 2013. College football, Illinois Wesleyan. Titans toppled by Carroll at home by Randy Reinhardt. Bloomington. Normal Community product Mikey Coleman rushed for 115 yards and Reed Breckheimer for 100 yards and 3 touchdowns to propel Carroll College past Illinois Wesleyan 34-14 on Saturday at Tucci Stadium. Carroll outgained IWU 398-301. Both teams are 4-5 overall and 4-4 in the College Conference of Illinois and Wisconsin. Starting in place of injured quarterback Dermot Smith, Chase Mackey, another NCHS player, passed for 290 yards while completing 17 of 33. Carroll limited the Wesleyan rushing attack to 11 net yards on 21 attempts. Pioneers quarterback Charlie King was 19 of 28 for 160 yards. And Illinois Wesleyan soccer, the soccer team has won the CCIW. Joey Rodino scored the lone goal on a penalty kick at the 21:55 mark of the first half to spark IWU to a 1-0 win over North Park in the championship match of the CCIW tournament at Neese Field in Bloomington. The Titans, 13-2-4, set a program record for wins and earned the CCIW's automatic berth into the NCAA Division III tournament. Wesleyan goalkeeper Sam Kedzier matched a career high with 10 saves while registering his 5th shutout of the season. ECHL hockey, Bison offense sputters in loss by Adam Morris, Bloomington. The Bloomington Bison fell 3-1 to the Indy Fuel on Saturday night, dropping the decisive third game of the series against their divisional rival. In his season debut for the Bison, goaltender Dryden McKay stopped 31 of the 33 shots he faced in front of a crowd of 3,951 at Grossinger Motors Arena. The Bison, 3-3-1-1, beat the Fuel 4-2 on Wednesday, but fell 5-0 on Friday, with Indy hosting both games. In Saturday's matchup, they were hampered by penalties, taking 7 minors, including 4 in the offensive zone. The next home game for the Bison is Bloomington Bison versus the Iowa Heartlanders. It will be at 7 p.m. Friday, November 14th, at Grossinger Motors Arena, 101 South Madison Street, Bloomington. The tickets are $20 and up, available at bloomington-bisonhockey.com or Ticketmaster, or call the Bison Ticket Office at 309-965-4373, extension 2. Themes: Union Night, celebrating local labor, and 309 Night, when fans can pay $3 for Bud Light cans or sodas, $0 for popcorn, and $9 for 2 slices of pizza. A $9 specialty t-shirt is also available. This has been Mary with selections from the Pantograph on Monday, November 10th, 2025. Stay tuned for the second half hour of the Pantograph, and we'll take a short break now.